אילו אילו הוציאנו, הוציאנו ממצרים, ולא הצבא הם שבטים דיינו. די דיינו, די דיינו, די דיינו, 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 די דיינו, די דיינו, די דיינו, דיינו, דיינו. אילו אילו קרא לנו את הים, ולא הבירנו בתוכו בחרבה דיינו. די דיינו, די דיינו, די דיינו, 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 די דיינו, די דיינו, די דיינו, דיינו, דיינו. אילו אילו קרב בנו לפני הר סיני, ולא נתן לנו את התורה דיינו. די די דיינו, די דיינו, די דיינו, 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 די דיינו, די דיינו, די דיינו, דיינו, דיינו. אילו אילו הכניסנו, הכניסנו לארץ ישראל, ולא בנה לנו את בית הבחירה דיינו. די 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 דיינו, די דיינו, די דיינו,
Hello?
Charles? Charles, are
yeah.
you there? Oh, there you are. Oh, yes. Well, here we have Charles Jacobs again, the founder of Americans for Peace and Tolerance, joining us today with your show host, Andrew Herod, here on Conservative Casual Friday, to discuss the ADL and other Jewish leadership groups and how they're dealing with multifaceted threats of anti-Semitism today. Well, Charles, first of all, introduce us to what has been your experience in past decades with the Anti-Defamation League and how it's dealt with anti-Semitism?
Well, my experience goes back to the 1980s when we were reading in the press, in the New York Times and the Boston Globe, terrible daily bashings of Israel. And we didn't know what to do. And the media was demonizing the Jewish state, was portraying Israel as the cruelest among nations. And I met a person named Andrea Levin, who went on to become the leader of CAMRA, the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting in America, which is the preeminent media watchdog group in America. And we were going to start a Boston chapter because the Boston Globe was bashing Israel almost daily. And very important people from the ADL reached out to us and said, please don't do this. The ADL should be the ADL for Israel. And we said, okay, so go do it. Good, go do it. And the leader at the time, Abe Foxman, who had been the leader for generations, refused. And the moment that he refused to take on the media, and don't forget the media was the source of anti-Israelism that passed on to the campuses, between the media and the campuses, back and forth and back and forth. Now we have this huge problem. Then it was a little small lump in the chest. Now it's a cancer. So the moment that Abe Foxman of the ADL decided not to take on the media marked, in my view, the beginning of Jewish political decline in the United States, because now everybody can attack Jews. Next week or in 2 days, every Jew in America practically is going to be sitting down at a Passover Seder, and he's going to be chanting in commemoration of the anti-Semitism that's plagued us since the beginning of time. The line, in every generation they rise up to destroy us. And, it was thought for a long time America would be an exception to Jewish history, and it was for a while. And now the Jews are surrounded by ideological forces from every quarter. And we have no leadership that understands the nature and extent of this problem. So that was the beginning. ADL failed to be the ADL for Israel.
You mentioned Abraham Foxman. Now, he, as you indicated, he was a longtime leader of the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, from 1987 to 2015. He was the national director. And when you say he refused to support you in your efforts to go – to take on the Boston Globe and their reporting of Israel. When was this again?
1988. He had a big choice to make. First of all, he came from a generation, he was a child of the Holocaust, survivors of the Holocaust, and he was transfixed by the Nazi threat. And he didn't understand the rise of the new anti-Semitism, which is anti-Israelism. So the new anti-Semitism is, you take the Jewish state and you make it the Jew among nations. You single it out like you did, the older anti-Semitism singled out Judaism and Jews and Jewish conduct for defamation. And now you just switch that to the Jewish state. So what that means, that's exactly what they've done with Israel. There's terrible things happening in the world, and whatever unfortunate things are happening in Israel just are pale in comparison. And yet the human rights community and the New York Times and all the leftists focus on this Jewish bad conduct, so to speak. That's classical anti-Semitism. And if you don't understand that, if you don't recognize that anti-Zionism, the intention to deny the Jewish people a state that you wouldn't deny anybody else. If you don't understand that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism, then get a new job. Go learn to code. Don't tell me you're the leader of the Jewish people and that your job is to defend us, because they didn't. So Foxman was, fixated on the right-wing threat because that's easy. That was in his experience. But also it's easy. Everybody hates Nazis. It's not a hard thing to do to go say neo-Nazis and white supremacists and racists, who hate Jews are bad people. But they're not a danger, really. Yes, they are a danger. They have guns and they're crazy and they can hurt and kill. But there are no neo-Nazi professors on college campuses that are poisoning the minds of a generation against the Jewish people. There are no neo-Nazis in Congress, but there's anti-Semites in Congress, ones who are focused on Israel. So the Anti-Defamation League is a complete and utter failure and is misleading the Jewish people. And when Foxman retired, he put in his place Jonathan Greenblatt, who's even worse because he was an Obama operations guy. He worked for Obama. He was a special assistant to the president. And he is all for turning this most important Jewish defense agency, which has $100 million in its coffers, it's reported. And he gets $800,000 a year as a salary, believe it or not. He's all for hollowing out this Jewish Defense Agency and turning it into a Democratic Party operation, and that's exactly what they've done.
Well, yeah, you mentioned, again, Abe Foxman talking about Nazism and his personal experience. He writes about it in great detail in his 2003 book, Never Again, where he does a sort of a survey of anti-Semitism around the world 2 years after September 11, 2001, and Al-Qaeda's attacks. And as you indicated, he talked about his own personal experience as a child growing up in Vilnius area, town that has throughout history switched between Polish and Lithuanian control, and hiding out from the Nazis. His a maid in his family, a Catholic maid, a Polish maid, hit him out and raised him like he was a Catholic child, and hit him out as a Catholic child, and actually really wanted to sort of convert him to Catholicism. But then after the war, his parents miraculously also survived Nazi genocide, and they were able to reunite, and his parents were able to gradually raise him again as a Jew. So that's, of course, his, you know, the searing personal experience of having escaped Nazi genocide. Well, you talk about Jonathan Greenblatt, his successor, as you indicated, you know, he doesn't really have much experience, as you've noted, in Jewish organizations. He really comes out of more of like an environmental background, and he's been a Democratic Party operative. He's worked at both the Bill Clinton and the Barack Obama White Houses. Why did Abe Foxman support such a person to head the ADL, this key Jewish organization founded in 1913, when Abe Foxman retired in 2015?
Well, nobody knows that, exactly why he did it, but you have to understand that Foxman himself failed to understand the new sources of anti-Semitism. Look, right now, the Jews are facing a perfect storm of four ideological sources of Jew hatred. Of course, you've got the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists. They'll always be there forever and ever, but they're not the biggest problem. Then you've got left-wing anti-Zionists who are teaching all of America that these Jews in America who like Israel are really supporting a racist, colonialist, imperialist state that needlessly oppresses people of color. This is extraordinarily more dangerous. And then you've got black anti-Semites led by Louis Farrakhan and others. And then you've got the Islamists. I mean, people who are listening to this show can, in 2 minutes on their computers, find instances of imams in American mosques saying terrible things about Jews. So you've got the Jews are – there are four winds of hatred. As I said, it's like a perfect storm. But the ADL, since Foxman, never understood the Islamic threat. They didn't know what to do with the left that's abandoning Israel because they're creatures of the left. And they don't – and they certainly don't know what to do about black anti-Semitism. They're terrified of it. So it's not – strange for him to pass on the mantle to somebody who has the same blindnesses, which is Greenblatt. Greenblatt has made it worse because he's now actively trying to join the left. I mean, just one example, just recently, you know, in Colorado a few days ago, you had this Muslim guy whose Facebook page shows that he is, you know, fully reverent to Sharia law. Go kill 10 people in a place that sells, that advertises itself to be a one-stop shop for kosher shoppers. So, and the ADL, among others, has been supporting the importation from the Middle East of refugees from the regions that it itself, the ADL polling itself, shows contains the highest degree of anti-Semitism in populations because they're taught that in their schools and their mosques. So the ADL is participating in the importation of people from the Middle East who are the most likely to strike out at Jews. And the ADL continues to do this. And when other Jewish groups like, well, one, the ZOA, the Zionist Organization of America, led by the courageous Morton Klein, steps up to say, wait a minute, this is a big mistake. No one's vetting these people, not just for anti-Semitism, but, you know, what do they think about women? What do they think about clitorectomies? What do they think about gays? What do they think about American democracy? The ADL attacks Klein and the ZOA and us. So this is a terrible thing. They're trapped. The ADL and most Jewish establishment leaders are trapped because they want to embrace a left that has turned on the Jews, and they don't know what to do. They're in a corner. So this is the situation that the Jewish community faces. It needs desperately to change its leadership. It doesn't really understand the situation it's in because its leadership has failed it, has failed to educate the Jewish community on the nature and extent of the new anti-Semitism. And this is mostly I lay at the feet of the ADL.
Well, it's interesting you bring up these points. I wrote about this recently at Jihad Watch, where I'm a contributing writer, among other places where I write. In Foxman's 2003 book, again, this book Never Again, he does a survey of different forms of anti-Semitism. I found it interesting that the longest chapter in his book is precisely about Islamic anti-Semitism. He goes through a fairly extensive analysis, fairly insightful, about Islamic doctrines, about Jews being a corrupted non-Muslim Sunni people. They're supposed to have this Sunni subjugated status, second-class status,
right,
a kind of religious apartheid, and how that then carries over to Israel, that these Jews are they're ruling this land that was once part of Islam, controlled by Muslims. That's the longest chapter in the book. He also has another chapter on black anti-Semitism, and there he also talks about how in recent decades, sort of starting in the 1960s, you've had a lot of blacks turn towards, American blacks turn towards a new left, and that involves, for example, being anti-Israel, going against American allies. He also covers that. But you said, have you ever seen in any of his public statements? Also, another chapter, other places he talks very strongly about he's really a strong supporter of Israel and always stands up for Israel's security. Have you ever seen that in his career manifested? Or are you saying that's just a total blank?
No, it's in his book. And how many people read the book? I mean, it did not get into any programs of the ADL. I can tell you from personal experience here, where I am in Boston, when Boston got news that a radical group of Muslims was going to build the largest mosque on the Eastern Seaboard, my group, went to Jewish leadership, and we said, look who is coming to town. Yusuf Karadawi is on the board. Yusuf Karadawi, press a button on your computer. You can see him curse Jews to huge throngs in Cairo. He's the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. Look who else is on their board. Boom, 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 right down the line. These people are going to be very, very dangerous. You have to fight this. You have to go to the mayor of Boston, Tom Menino. You have to tell him, you can't let these people, forget about building a mosque. Don't let them get off the plane in Boston. The ADL crumbled, wouldn't fight. None of them would. None of them wanted to take on this fight because it's politically incorrect. And, like any group in any city, they thought, wow, if this is a Muslim group and we're going to be against it, it's going to be a hard thing for us to distinguish between us being, Islamophobic and us being worried about real threats. And so the ADL continually gave in, gave up, wouldn't tell the Jewish community even what it knew about the people who were, and wouldn't even tell the Jewish community when we found out the curriculum that they were teaching their kids after they'd built the mosque, which was anti-American, anti-woman, anti-gay, anti-Jewish. wouldn't discuss it, just ran away. So Abe Foxman can write a nice chapter in his book. It means nothing. The ADL has signed on to left-wing propositions alongside CARE, the Committee for American Islamic Relations, which is a Hamas front in America. It is terrified of being called Islamophobic, and it's terrified of being rejected by the left. And for that reason, it has given up defensive positions and has given up explaining to the Jewish community and educating the Jewish community about the nature of real threats against us. The same is true with black. I mean, the same is true with the Black Lives Matter. I mean, Black Lives Matter, not the movement, but not the people, but the leaders of Black Lives Matter. Many of them have done anti-Semitic things, and the ADL refuses to say that that's the case, and in fact attacks the Zionist Organization of America when they do say it's the case. So they're making a bet. Their bet is the left will not turn against the Jews. We will be able to be part of that great coalition of minority peoples, victim class, you know, even though the Jews don't kind of fit in that in the same way as other people who want to see themselves as a victim class. The Jews actually are seen as, by the left, as exploiters. We're now white. You know, the last time they tried to kill Jews, they killed Jews. It was because we weren't white. Now we are white.
Yeah, and you're you also once wrote about you indicated me in the past you had an experience with the ADL dealing with Louis Faircon. I mean, you come from an experience where you've dealt a lot with abolition efforts, emancipation efforts of people enslaved in Africa by various sort of jihadist motivated Muslims there in Sudan and elsewhere. But you said that we've written before that the ADL has not used this experience to really go after Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, this really hateful anti-Semitic organization, and to take away its popularity from American blacks. Discuss that for a bit.
Sure. So I was involved in an effort to free black Christian slaves in Sudan. This was 18 years ago. 17, 18, 19 years ago. So in Africa today, blacks, mostly black Christians, but sometimes black Muslims, are enslaved in five African countries, Sudan, Mauritania, Algeria, Libya, Nigeria, five African countries at least where blacks are enslaved. I don't mean, they have hard jobs and nasty bosses. I mean, they're enslaved. About hashtag bring back our girls that Michelle Obama for 3 minutes got interested in. So 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, in Sudan, Arab militias declared the Arab government in Khartoum declared a jihad against the Christian black South. And Arab militias stormed African Christian villages, killed the men and captured the women and children as slaves. And I was working with a Christian group out of Switzerland called Christian Solidarity International, heroic people. And we were explaining to black America to come to the forefront of freeing slaves. And Farrakhan was against us because, think about it. Louis Farrakhan's job, funded at the time by Muammar Gaddafi to the tune of $5 million loans that Bill Clinton had to stop, by the way. His job was to tell black people that Islam is the path to freedom. Leave Christianity. Islam is the path to freedom. Well, that's kind of a hard sell if news reports are coming out that Islamic peoples are enslaving blacks. And Farrakhan had a fit about this, and he was caught out, and his own base was quite upset. So, I mean, if you're if you're the ADL and you want to weaken somebody who might hurt you, you could have done that. You know, you could have really, really used, I mean, helped free slaves and shown the world that Farrakhan is leading people down the wrong path. But they didn't do that. I mean, they just didn't do that. They don't, you know, they're not, I don't know if you want to say they're not brave or creative or they're not, I don't know. They could still do that. So the ADL is just, you know, feckless. It's toothless. And it goes around preaching against the right-wing anti-Semites, which is that's part of its job, but that's the only thing it does. And it not only is it the only thing it does, it distracts from, as it flees from, the real more dangerous in the long term enemies of the Jewish people. I mean, there are black thugs beating up Jews in the streets of New York. You can see it on your laptop. There are Muslim preachers screaming about how Jews are treacherous, betrayers of Islam, enemies of Islam, whatever words you want to say. And the left on not just the campuses now, but even in the high schools, you know, Israel's a racist state. Well, if Israel's a racist state, then what are American Jews? Because the vast majority of American Jews are for Israel. So that must mean that American Jews are a racist people, right? So that's the problem. A couple of thugs that wear Nazi T-shirts are not the problem, even though it is true. No one can deny that there have been and there may be people who have this old-fashioned anti-Judaism will be dangerous and have guns, and that's true, sure. But to abandon to leave off fighting against the other ones because you want to, the other sources of anti-Semitism, because you want to cling to a left that's kicking you in the teeth right now. I mean, after all, the ADL is under fire from the left because it has a program, a very good program, where it brings American policemen to Israel to be trained in counterterrorism. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I lost you there for a moment. Yeah, it seems to me, you know, is it, if we talk about modern anti-Semitism as focusing on Israel, you know, it seems to me that you know, David Duke and others like the Tree of Life shooter, synagogue shooter, you know, they're often their main theme is Israel as well. I mean, that Tree of Life synagogue shooter, he talked about the Zionist occupied government in Congress and, you know, really hated Trump for his pro-Israel leanings. Is it important for like the ADL and other groups to note that, you know, all of these modern anti-Semites, they're really focusing on Israel, and so you have this sort of rainbow coalition, and if you have anti-Semitism against Israel from one quarter, it'll also stimulate anti-Semitism from another quarter.
Absolutely right. It's all mixed together, right? They mix all of the flavors together, right? So you can have a David Duke uniting with Farrakhan. You can have the racist David Duke. You can have him uniting with the black Muslims, the Nation of Islam, I mean. Think about it. There is in Europe now something that is called the Red-Green Alliance. That is the left Muslim alliance against Israel. Well, how is a left, which likes bikinis and free love and 27 genders, how do they unite with Muslim groups that are fundamentalist Muslim groups who throw gays off roofs and who would kill people who behaved like the left wants people to behave? It's so Jew hatred is a glue that is so powerful that it can unite people who otherwise hate each other's guts on the most fundamental principles. So you're right. I mean, it is true. The people who have killed Jews from the right will also bring into their argument that the Jews are not only, you know, capitalist exploiters and race, you know, despoilers, but also are people who needlessly oppress, you know, Middle Easterners in Israel. Sure.
And it strikes me as interesting, you're talking about Louis Farrakhan and the ADL. You know, now we see this big push of the ADL to, you know, as you're saying, to support this whole Black Lives Matter movement. But why does the ADL want to support, why does the Black Lives Matter in Africa when they're being enslaved by these jihadists? You know, that seems a fundamental paradox that the ADL wasn't interested in its broad campaign for civil rights to expose, bring attention to that issue in Africa.
I tell you again, it's politically incorrect to talk about evil done by non-whites, right? That's the biggest politically incorrect thing you can say. I mean, it's not different than, you know, to point out that domestically here, more black people are shot by black people than by cops, right? Or more black people die at the hands of black thugs. Black children die at the hands of black criminals much, 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 much more than anything happens bad to them from policemen. I mean, you can't say that. So in the same way, you can't say that, you know, Arabs do bad things to blacks. That would put you in a box of being a racist Islamophobic person. And this, by the way, all goes to a bigger problem than what we're – a deeper problem, which is the progressives defeating classic liberals in America. You know, it's not – it's no longer the case that all of us who are classic liberals, and I count myself in that and probably you too, who believe that for equal opportunity for everybody, no matter – what race, gender, religion, et cetera, we for equal. Well, the progressives, which are updated Marxists, really, believe in equal results, right? So if you believe in equal results, if your demand is that every group has to be on the same level in every sphere of life, not only income but career and sports, if you believe that, and you also believe that the only reason why some groups don't do as well as other groups is because the groups who have done better are exploiting and oppressing the groups who haven't done as well. Well, guess what that's going to do for the – what does that mean for the Jewish community? That means that we're the biggest exploiters and oppressors because we are prosperous and we are successful. And if the new regime, ideological regime, is progressivism, it by definition, verity means oppression. So the Jews, by that definition, are going to be in deeper trouble than ever. And that's what the ADL and other Jewish groups are trying to cling to this left that has turned against classical liberalism, which protected all of us. And they don't know what to do. They don't understand what to do.
Yeah, and then it brings up interesting issues. I guess there's a theme here of a real Jewish identity crisis. You know, there's the classic line, I forget who it was, Irving Kristol, was it Norman Poderos, who said that, you know, Jews sort of live like Episcopalians in the United States, but they vote like Puerto Ricans, right? I mean, they've achieved this kind of establishment life, as you say, prosperous, and but, you know, they continue to sort of vote left. You know, the idea has occurred to me before that, you know, people make this anti-Semitic charge of Jews having dual loyalty with Israel, but I guess the sort of the real dual loyalty issue is that Jews have to sort of try to navigate a loyalty between being Jewish today and then trying to, you know, how do they juggle that with the sort of traditional liberal-leaning, leftist political leanings that, you know, this, as you're indicating here, this is all breaking down, that the left is turning on them.
It's because the left has changed. The left has been devoured by progressivism. The biggest struggle right now in the West, in Western civilization, in my view, is the struggle between this updated Marxist view of the world, which some people call progressive or woke or anti-racist. Between that, which is surging, which is taking over every one of American institutions, right? Just not just the newspapers, but the campuses and big business now, and they're devouring. I mean, they're going after the Democratic Party. So this new surge in this new ideology, which is poison for everybody, is overtaking the classic liberalism that Jews, yes, were wedded to for good reason, and they haven't understood and have yet to understand how bad this development is for them and for America.
Yeah, I mean, historically, I mean, collectivist movements, of course, have targeted Jews. I mean, you can think of the whole World War II era. I mean, both the international socialists, the Soviet Union, Joseph Stalin, were anti-Semitic, and of course the National Socialists, the Nazis, which had their own collectivist vision based on a German master race. I mean, of course, then engaged in unique crime of genocide against Jews they committed. Jews supporting these values of individual dignity, individual rights are always in between those two groups, or any collectivist, are threatened by any collectivist ideology.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's not hard to understand why Jews were liberals in the classical liberal sense, because liberals were the ones who let it be that Jews, in the beginning anyway, the 19th century, let it be that Jews could join, everywhere, all of society. So they were the ones who stood against, I would say, throne and blood right-wing business. So you understand why the Jews were at first liberals. And then when liberalism turned into communism, whereas now liberalism is turning into this updated Marxist progressivism, the Jews they better make a U-turn.
Yeah, and thinking of prejudices and so forth, and the ADL, we've mentioned here the ADL is worried about Islamophobia. Well, what is Islamophobia, and is that comparable to anti-Semitism?
Well, no, it's the smartest term that I imagine. It's very, very clever to invent that word, because what it is supposed to be is it prevents any criticism of any Islamic doctrine or practice. So it has nothing to do with race, which is what they want. They want you to think that you're being racist against Muslims, which is kind of crazy, because Islam is not a race, right? It's a set of ideas and practices and history. So if you can't say, gee, I don't really love the idea that God wants you to kill apostates, that's not a really great idea, that makes you Islamophobic. Or if you say, I really don't love the idea that Muslim men are supposed to beat their wives, that it makes it forbidden that you say it. Or I don't like the idea that according to Islam, Jews and Christians must be second class, dhimmi people who can never be equal in the Muslim world to Muslims. You're not allowed to say those very, very essential, important things that teach the general public about the essential, fundamental nature of Islamic doctrine. So they invented the word Islamophobic as a curse word to lay on you, as a stain upon you, if you were to enter into a discussion of the values that Islamic civilization preaches. So this is a horrific thing. And so people like the ADL, he's got a curriculum on against Islamophobia. And he wants to do that, Greenblatt, because he's eager, he's salivating to join the left. And so this is his price of admission. I'm going to agree that nobody ever can say anything about any Islamic practice or belief in all of time. So it's a deal with the devil.
Oh, I guess I hadn't maybe I'd heard about that. So he has some sort of the ADL has developed some sort of presentation or materials on Islamophobia. Who's aided them in developing that? What sources are they drawing upon for that?
Well, I don't know exactly, but it's all over. It's not hard to do. You could go and develop a course against Islamophobia, all by yourself on the internet. Let me see what I have. They developed a curricular lesson plans on combating anti-Muslim bigotry and Islamophobia. And the ADL criticizes people who worry rightly about fundamental Islamic beliefs. So the ADL came after Frank Gaffney, the Center for Security Policy. They came after Bridget Gabriel. They came after Mike Pompeo, all for supposedly being Islamophobic. So this is ridiculous. And it's the ADL's own data that shows that the one region in the world that has the highest degree of Jew hatred is the Muslim regions. So they're against Jewish interests by doing this, and they're for leftist interests for doing this. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody who is a card-carrying member of the ADL sued them for betraying the cause that they donated for. It should happen. I hope it happens.
Yeah, it strikes me that, this whole idea of Islamophobia, among other things, strikes me as actually being anti-Semitic itself, because it whitewashes precisely these Islamic anti-Semitic doctrines, which, as you indicated, the ADL in global surveys from 2014 to 2017 has found that anti-Semitism among Muslims around the world is just off the charts. It's the most anti-Semitic of groups around the world in comparison to, say, atheists or the Christians or the Hindus or others. But if you say Islamophobia, it's like this phrase like white privilege. It doesn't really have any definition, but you can just use it to sort of stigmatize someone and shut down any conversation. That then serves as cover for anti-Semitism. Time and time again, I found that any person who says Islamophobia, they always hate Israel or something. I've sort of developed a motto: you show me someone who says Islamophobia, and I'll show you an Israel hater or an anti-Semite. It seems like there it's just giving cover to anti-Semitism.
A few months ago, there were hearings about the surge in anti-Semitism in America in Congress. And Mort Klein of the ZOA testified. And he pointed out, using ADL's own figures, that the Muslim world is the place where you could find the highest degree of anti-Semitism, anti-Semitic beliefs. And you could find this because this is what's taught in their schools and their mosques, etc. Well, somebody asked, at the same hearing, somebody asked the ADL vice president, I forgot her name, we made a little film about this, by the way. It's on my website. What about the Muslim anti-Semitism? And she said, well, we're in America here, and we are not going to say things about people who are victims of racism. So in other words, since Muslims claim to be victims of racism in America, the ADL, because it belongs to the left – and not to the Jews, right, won't tell the American Congress what it finds to be problematic about Muslim beliefs and practices about Jews. So they have sold us out. It's right there on tape. They said it to the United States Congress. We won't talk about this. That's what she said. And she was there to testify about the rise in anti-Semitism in America. And now you have three days ago in Colorado, a Muslim guy who's Facebook page reveals that he is a Sharia adherent Muslim guy, goes to a food store which has advertised that it's one-stop shopping for Jewish shoppers on Passover. We have kosher food. He drives 25 miles from where he lives to go to that store and kills 10 people. Now, we don't know if he did it because he thought it was a kosher shop, but he could have. And yet, it was the ADL, who is one of the leading Jewish organizations, lobbying to import people, Syrian refugees. The ADL knows that in Syria, the government schools, that's the only kind of schools there are, teach terrible things to every child in Syria about the Jews. You can't escape from Syrian schools without hearing the worst of the worst things about the Jews, and yet the ADL continues to, and other Jewish organizations on the left, continues to lobby for the importation of Syrian refugees from Syria. So this is horrific. And you can't get into a freshman English composition class in an American college campus without first going to sensitivity training that teaches you that blacks and women and gays and Latinos and gender, that all these people and Muslims, you know, are to be respected and et cetera, which is fine. So, but we're not going to vet people who come into the United States about what they think about Jews and women and gays and democracy. We're not going to vet them for that. So every time you ask, why aren't you vetting? They say, well, the United States government vets, but they only vet for terrorism. They don't vet for what's in your – they don't vet for the bomb in your heart. They vet for the bomb in your pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting parallel between vetting and universities and vetting, coming into the country, which I guess is ultimately far more serious. Well, thinking of the ADL, one thing comes to mind, if you talk about the Islamist like organizations like the Council on American Islamic Relations you mentioned before, the sort of Hamas-derived organization, about 2 years ago or so, there was a letter from something like 120 legislatures, members of Congress and senators, that was sent out praising, signed by 120 legislators, most overwhelmingly Democratic. I think there are a few Republicans, one or two, praising the CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. But the ADL didn't seem to do anything about that, even though CARE has, they've supported BDS, they've condemned Israel as an apartheid state, racist apartheid state. They've promoted this deadly exchange campaign, which says that police brutality in America against blacks and others results from Israeli training of American police. What has the ADL done about CARE?
No, the ADL won't do anything. In fact, I actually got somebody fired from the ADL who worked in the Midwest office of the ADL, because she was their senior person at this local ADL organization, because she sat on interfaith groups that included CARE. And I called her up. I was a reporter I was writing for the Jewish Advocate, a Jewish paper in Boston. And I said, well, don't you have an opportunity to tell all of, what CARE is? She says, yeah, I know. But I have to sit in this group because it's they penetrated CARE got into the interfaith group. And I mean, what am I going to do? I said, well, I'll tell you what you could do. You could tell them that CARE is related to Hamas, and that you could tell the blacks in that group that these people deny that Arabs have black slaves when it's really true. You could tell the Christians in that group what CARE says about Christianity, or what CARE-related mosques say and believe about Christianity. I have some films you could show them. But they won't do it. They won't do it because they're bet. They're making a bet that they can still cling to the left and avoid terrible consequences from Islamic anti-Semitism. That's their bet. Anybody here who is listening to us, call up the ADL office and say, what are you going to do about Islamic anti-Semitism? Nothing. Oh, we have a book. Abe Foxman wrote a book a long time ago. You can read it. That's what they'll tell you.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, CARE has also recently, about a year ago, they joined in with this campaign called Drop the ADL, supported by, for example, Jewish Voice for Peace and these other really radical leftist groups, and I believe also this other Hamas-derived organization, American Muslims for Palestine. So, you know, you talk about, you're saying ADL is trying to make this bet to avoid Islamic anti-Semitism and to really hang on to the left. But here we have CARE going after the ADL, saying that it should no longer be seen as a civil rights organization. It really is this sort of, apartheid-supporting pro-Israel organization. And so it should no longer be included within any sort of civil rights advocacy. So, you know, is that working out, or is anyone at ADL recognizing this?
I think ADL is trapped by its own position. It knows it's got nowhere to go. It's become much more friendly to Arab-American groups. Hussein Ibish, who was a senior scholar at the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee, says, the ADL is serious about a future without an occupation in Israel, and I can have serious conversations with them now. They've really turned around. This is Hussein Ibish who says this. So on the one hand, they're being attacked by the left and by Muslims for taking American police for training, anti-terrorist training in Israel. They're being, on the one hand. On the other hand, they can smile across the table at these interfaith gatherings in American cities. Every American city has these interfaith things where Muslim radicals have snuck in pretending to be Muslim moderates. So the ADL just doesn't know what to do. It's trapped, as I said. And yet it is claims to be the Jewish defense agency with $100 million in its coffers. So the Jews in America really have to learn about this and wake up, and it's very difficult for them to learn about it. I've been working to put together Jewish grassroots groups around the country. We've got 10 or 11 of them. There are a couple of Jewish groups that are really good, but they're not the establishment groups. The ZOA is one. CAMRA is another, Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting in America. There's some others, but it's very, very difficult. There may be 30% of America's Jews who get it, and they're very worried. And but they don't have a huge organization to compete with, or to have a platform that competes with the Jewish establishment. Not yet. We're working on that.
Well, so what organizations would you recommend that Jews turn to combat anti-Semitism? You mentioned CAMRA and Morgan Klein's Zionist Organization of America, ZOA. What sort of organizations do Jews turn to now?
Well, those are the two big ones. My own organization, Americans for Peace and Tolerance, is not as big as those two, but we fight. We have united with 10 small groups around the country. Nobody would know their names. They are pro-Israel groups in cities across the country. People can find them wherever you are. You can find a pro-Israel group, but they would be small grassroots groups. Come to our website, peaceandtolerance.org, and there's a list of groups who smaller activist groups that people should join. So that's the problem. The big money is with the establishment groups, the Anti-Defamation League, the Jewish Federations, the American Jewish Committee, the Jewish Community Relations Councils. Those are the four horsemen of our demise, I call them. But those are the big ones. Those are the Jewish establishment. That's the Jewish establishment. And we know what history teaches Jews is that their establishment has failed them. Look what the establishment did in World War II. All the big groups in World War II did nothing, practically nothing, about the Nazis. All the big groups in America did nothing about the Soviet Jews until it was the student-led a revolt. It was the Students for Soviet Jewry led a revolt against their lazy and feckless elders to do something. So the same thing is going to happen now. What will have to happen now. There needs to be a revolt. There needs to be an overturning, a pressuring from the outside and from the inside against these failed groups. That's the story.
Well, do you see then among American Jews, or for that matter, among Jews around the world in, say, Europe or elsewhere, the United Kingdom, Canada, do you see signs of change in their attitudes?
Yes, Jews are very worried. Jews are extremely worried about what's going on. I mean, they could look. The statistics alone are worrisome. I mean, Jews are being attacked on the streets in New York. Jews are being, you know, there were pogrom-like events in, connected to the Black Lives Matter demonstration, protests called riots in Los Angeles. Jews in Europe are being attacked on the streets. So the Jewish world is getting very, very nervous, and it's confused. It's leaderless. It doesn't know what to do. I believe that Jews will wake up. It's a matter of in time or not.
Yeah, it seems
before
to me you mentioned World War II. Yeah, you mentioned World War II. It seems to me I'm talking about wokeness. You know, it seems to me that Jewish history is actually pretty anti-woke. I mean, if you look at Jewish history, it emphasizes precisely how Jews have to be concerned with power politics and power realities, not this kind of John Lennon, you know, imagine everyone peaceful together. Isn't that really a fundamental lesson to learn from Jewish history if we think about Passover right now?
Well, yeah. Books are written about, Jews are very, very smart except for defending themselves. I mean, we excel in an awful lot of realms, right? There have been books about why Jews are not good at power and understanding power. We're out of power for 2,000 years, right? We had to accommodate where we were the small, unarmed, besieged communities. We had no power. So for that happened for 2,000 years, and so we just got power back in the new nation state, the rekindled nation state of Israel in 1948. There's books about why Jews are not good at this. Daniel Pipes said it, I think, the best recently. He said, who could have imagined 100 years ago that the Jews would have made the best soldiers and the Arabs the best publicists? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? You ask about Jewish groups. There's a Michigan Jewish Action Council. There's the Rhode Island Coalition for Israel. There's Z Street. There's the Israel Group. There's the Russian Jewish Community Foundation of Boston. There's New Hampshire for Israel. There's Jewish American Action Committee of Indiana. There's the Conference of Jewish Affairs. There's North Carolina Coalition for Israel. Those are all small groups that have joined with my group, Americans for Peace and Tolerance, to take out full-page ads in Jewish newspapers across the country criticizing national Jewish leadership. And if any of your listeners want to have a small group that wants to join up, please do. You can reach us at peaceandtolerance.org.
All right, then. Well, excellent. Well, for our listeners out there, you've been listening to another episode of Conservative Casual Friday with your show host, Andrew Herod, a weekly blog talk radio show where we like to look at important current events of the day every Friday. And we've been discussing modern American U.S. Jewish leadership in their struggles between wokeness and anti-Semitism with the founder of Americans for Peace and Tolerance, Charles Jacobs, one of America's leading Jewish leaders. Well, Charles Jacobs, thank you very much for joining the show.
Thank you very much for having me. It's good to talk to you.
All right, then. Well, listeners, tune in next not next week. Actually, we'll skip Good Friday next week for Religious Observance, but tune in for another Friday afterwards for another episode of Conservative Casual Friday.